Amen. Hey, today, while you're turning to Luke, the 15th chapter, I'd like Kyla Jones. Kyla, will you please stand? Kyla has a couple of adoption packets that if you would like to adopt Michelle and stay connected with her as a church, please see Kyla. She might kind of find herself out there by Michelle's table. And I encourage you to go by and just visit that real quick. I think it's really cool, the little prayer thing you got there. That's pretty awesome. I like that. Hey, today we are going to start a series. It's called The Lost, and we're going to speak about the lost and the found. It's in Luke, the 15th chapter, and we're going to stay there for the next 3 weeks to talk about an incredible circumstance that Jesus had heavily upon his heart. The Bible tells us that he said, God sent me to seek and to save that which is lost. Some of it's important to Jesus, and it's got to be important to us. And right now is a crucial, an incredible, kind of a neat time in that, you know, we're turning out of the summer calendar into the school calendar. I know the kids don't really want to hear that, but it's going to be school really quick. Things are going to turn around. They're going to be real structured. A lot of your ideas start thinking toward a lot of things. We just got back from Belize. A lot of things are going to be happening on the campus over here at Rogers State and in our schools, all kinds of things. You're going to be hearing about things that Terry Robbins is going to be doing with our local schools. So the loss is going to be something that we're going to focus on, not just because it's a calendar thing, but it was the number one priority in Jesus' life. So I want you to stand with me as we read in Luke, the 15th chapter. I know all of you have your Bibles out, but if you don't, we're going to have it up here on the screen as well. Maybe you have your little phone, whatever you do your Bible on, that's okay. Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 4 through 7, Jesus said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep, loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, it's interesting because the introduction to this chapter, Jesus is talking to a lot of different people. There's the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes, these are the religious elite. And they were really kind of watching what Jesus was going. A lot of things had happened at this point, and they were trying to find a way to just kind of trick him and see that his teaching and everything really isn't valid. But he's also talking to the publicans and the sinners. Now, publican is the word for tax collector. And if you've even got close to that, even if you don't know what the tax collectors did, you can tell they were not liked at all. Matthew was a tax collector. And Jesus is talking to them. And this is what the Pharisees and the scribes said. Look at him. He's hanging out with sinners. Well, let me just jump to a conclusion that we're going to end up at anyway. If you don't hang out with sinners, I don't think you're going to find any lost people out there. This is about like the shepherd who is not hanging around the sheep. He's really not doing much of a job as a shepherd if he's not around the sheep. Amen? Father, I just pray in the next few moments that you will arrest our hearts and our thoughts and our spirit. You will anoint what we have to say, especially what Jesus said out of Luke 15th chapter. Give us the heart of God when it comes to the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Now, in looking at this, I got to admit real quick, you know what? I may know what a sheep is, but sometimes I can't tell a goat from a sheep. I don't know if it meh or meh. I don't know what. You know, I don't know what those noises are. I just know I really don't want to hang around them. They hang out in the barn, okay? And stinky things happen in the barn and everything. So I'm not a shepherd person. I'm not a sheep person. But you know, it just takes a little bit to read a little bit. You find out that the shepherd really had a unique situation, a unique relationship with the sheep back in the day of Jesus. In Palestine, these sheep were something a lot more than just a mention in Jesus' life. Their culture really revolved around agriculture and sheep. But you and I don't really know or understand the sheep, especially the way the shepherd did in the day of Jesus. We don't know the value that they had to the shepherd. And here's the thing that's worst of all. We don't have an emotional connection to them at all. Quite honestly, if you have a neighbor and he's a sheeper, you know, shepherd, whatever, he's sheepsies, you know. See, I don't know what to call them, you know. They're just out there, okay. All I know, I just came back from Belize and we were gringos. Didn't bother me, you know, so But it doesn't bother us, okay? But to that shepherd, that sheep was very important, every single one of them. So as we look at this, most of the time, we're not moved that somebody lost a sheep. It's not affecting us. It doesn't bother us. And hey, I'm going to say something that seems incredibly insensitive, but it's still the truth. El Paso is just a mention. If we're not careful, it's just a mention. Because you know what? We didn't go home to an empty chair. You get where I'm coming from? We didn't have to go to the hospital to see if that's one of our loved ones, whether it's among the dead or the wounded. Are you following me? I mean, there's a connection here. One that I just talked about, it involves death and injury, but the sheep is lost. It's not coming back unless it's found. And to this shepherd, it meant everything to them. That's the way it was in the culture. But regardless of the value of the herd, because this was their wealth, this is where they lived. Without the sheep, they have just lost their job. They don't have any income. They don't have any way to support their family. And their whole way of life has now disappeared. So this is a lot more than just a mention that Jesus isn't randomly going, oh, well, let's just pick out some animals. This guy had 100. He lost one. He went and found it. Yippee. Not at all. Especially with those people who understood that. Because you know what? It was the most prevalent occupation in the country of Palestine, in the situation that Jesus found himself speaking to all of these people. Jesus often compared a lot of us to sheep anyway. You know, there's right there in the Bible, it says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. And you know that 100 versus 1 thing? I mean, stop and think about it. How do you treat a dollar compared to how you treat a penny? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, man, you saw a penny, you got excited because that was at least a piece of gum, you know, and you didn't have a whole lot of money anyway. But we saw that penny, we just jumped on it. Now I got to go, I don't know if I'm going to bend down and get that thing. You know, really, I'm serious. You got to go, I don't know if I want to go there. We were in Belize, you know, and I paid for some ice cream, you know, and I got some instructions there. It was really weird how the money went, but I had a couple of dollars. So I asked this lady that was behind the counter, I said, well, I have some American coins. And she looked at me like, I don't think so. I mean, it just meant she didn't want my coins. She wanted that Chris dollar bill type stuff. So when it comes to all of this, we need to understand that's the conversion that we're looking for in this whole situation. It's still hard to convert a little bit, if you ask me. Let me tell you what. Just follow me down this illustration. What if this building caught on fire? And we accounted for everybody but one. That's a tragedy. And I'd like to think that we would be responsible enough. We would look. We would search. But what would it be like if that one was yours? What would that be like if that one had your last name as a part of your family? Changes everything, doesn't it? Now listen, I'm not trying to take you down some emotional trail. I'm just trying to get you to dig into the fact that Jesus said this is not just a tragedy of numbers. This is about something that was priceless, it was precious, it was part of his. He probably raised that sheep from the minute it was born all the way up to wherever it was at that point. This was something very valuable to Jesus. He's not just doing a simple little illustration. And you know what? I found this out to be true about most of us. Until the loss becomes emotional and personal, it's just academic and rational. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus looks at us with anything going, well, let's just crunch the numbers here. Let's just see, does that make sense? Every person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, who isn't one day going to spend their eternity with him in heaven, grieves his heart, breaks his heart. And that's why we associate with this today. But here's the cool thing about every one of these stories. Something was lost, and then it was found. And then guess what happened? Great rejoicing. Incredible celebration. Always assisted that process. It was lost, it was found, and then we celebrated. Listen, let me tell you your story, my story. Listen, you have been saved from being lost. You were lost somewhere in there. I don't care if it was at 5 years old that you got saved or somewhere in your midlife, or I don't care. But you got saved somewhere in there. And until then, you were lost. Listen, I'm not talking about I was in the woods without a compass loss, or I have on the road without a roadmap loss. I'm talking about you're going to hell without a Savior lost. That's the kind of lost that you were in. And when I got saved, I didn't understand this lost aspect. But what I needed was, I didn't need direction, I needed a Savior. I could not get to heaven, I could not have my sins forgiven without a Savior. So the issue is that we were talking about hell. You know, we don't talk about hell a whole lot more, do we? It just doesn't seem to be the prime subject that we want to talk about. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes hell is used as something to beat people over the head, cause them a guilt reaction or something like that. But that's not the truth. The truth is, the Bible tells us that hell really exists. In the Old Testament alone, and we see it in several times, there's 12 times in the Hebrew, it's called Gehenna. And that's two words that are put together. One of those words is Hinnom, and it is called the Valley of Sorrows. That's what that word Gehenna means. And literally outside of Jerusalem, south of Jerusalem, there was this Valley of Hinnom. And what it was is all the garbage was taken there. Garbage of dead animals were taken there and burned. Can you imagine the death and decay that existed in that place? You see, I can't drum up hell enough to scare anybody into heaven. And I don't think that's a really good tactic, but it's something we need to understand. And this is what happened to you. You may not have known it. You may not have felt the sting. You may not have felt the flames or the threat of it. I got saved not because I was worried I was going to go to hell. I just knew that I needed a Savior. I needed to be forgiven. I really didn't even know the full weight of what it was to live in sin and what it was going to cost me. I just knew that God was calling me and I needed a Savior. But here's something that's also associated with all that, and that is the word fire. And we like to dismiss that now in our day because a lot of people just don't believe in hell. They just choose not to believe in hell. But you know what? God tells us there's an awful lot of fire associated. Even Jesus said that. There's a parable where a rich man was appealing to Lazarus, who was in Abraham's bosom, saying, I just need a drink. Jesus said that hell would be as a fire. And in Revelations, it even says that hell itself would be thrown into the lake of fire. Anybody scared yet? See, this doesn't scare us, but it's information that we need to know. And it's something that we should celebrate because that's where you were headed. You probably had no threat. You probably weren't worried about that. You were more worried about whether your battery is going to be dead when you got in the car the next morning than you were that you were going to go to hell. But this is what Jesus said. That's why this is so important. Even in the New Testament, Hades is a word that it refers to hell. And that word literally means not to see or not to perceive. You see, I've heard people say, well, I mean, kind of in their drunken stupor, because I remember we were witnessing to this one guy years ago, and then he'd been drinking, and he says, oh, if I go to hell, I'll be okay. I'll be with all of my friends. What he doesn't know, you know, your friends may be there, but it's a place of outer darkness. You'll probably hear them screaming in agony just like you. You'll be in the same place, but there's not going to be comfort. It's not going to be a party mentality. This is going to be a place designed for those who don't know Jesus. But whatever the word, one thing is clear, hell is a reality. Now that doesn't threaten you anymore, but it should alarm us for the sake of those who don't know this. You know what? Hell is not terrible because of the presence of evil. It is horrible because of the absence of God. And we're the only thing that ties these people together when it comes to that. So guess what? You've also been saved to being found. This is where it starts getting good. This is what happened when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what happens when everybody who is lost becomes found. They come associated with Jesus. The shepherd has gone out of the way. He left the 99 in the open in a very safe place just to look for the one. Hey, what was the path that Jesus went to through somebody to rescue you? I remember my path. Do you remember your path? Do you remember the people, the things that were said, those that reached out to you? Yeah, God had a shepherd that he sent your way, and he found you, and you were saved. And because of that, we get to talk about heaven. Heaven's a whole different circumstance whatsoever. Heaven, 223 times in the New Testament, that's all talked about. It literally, the word there in the Greek means up or above. We always think of heaven as up there, don't we, and hell down there. But regardless of the references to up or down, this is what God is taking us to. And it's what he's looking for the lost as well. Listen, hell is far worse than you can possibly imagine. But heaven is greater than anything you can describe. Heaven on earth is one of those great comments that we say, but there's nothing like what heaven is going to be like. And why is it that our hearts are so tied into this? It's not because we're just going to arrive there one day. It's not because it's a transition between here and there. It's because when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He put a part of eternity in your life. He began to just plant this desire to be with Him. And it's not about being escaping here. It's about being with Him. It's about being with the Lord. Is there ever a time you've been with the Lord that you have been void of peace and security and strength and comfort? There's all of those things. Loved, just to mention a couple of them. Listen, from what I see in the Bible, we have a lot to look forward to. And you know what? I do believe the lost, if they could just grasp a little bit of what heaven's like, I believe they'd want to go there too. I don't know about you, but I've always felt, God, I know this is kind of crazy, but if I could just tell someone who doesn't know Jesus, they're lost, if I could just place my heart in their heart, not because it's mine, not because of me, but I mean, what it's like to know Jesus, if they could just feel that just for a few seconds, I know that I know that I know they would receive you. Well, that's what finding these lost people are and getting them is all about. This is what C.S. Lewis said. A continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who do the most for the present world were those who just thought the most of the next. See, there's something, a part of God's heart becomes involved in you. And guess what? That's why you were lost, you were blind, you were out there. Jesus went after you as a shepherd, because He's called the Good Shepherd. He loved you, He found you, and when you got saved, everything was concealed. But then now there's celebration. There is great, great excitement. There's nothing like when somebody gets saved. Listen, recently when we were in Belize, we were dealing with children, and you heard the stories last week. The kids were telling all the stories, the connections they made, the kids who were just lived, and man, some of them, they're having cigarette burns on their bodies from their parents, single home parent homes, usually just the mother, living with grandparents, living in filth, all kinds of stuff you can describe. You know what? All they wanted to be loved. They cling to you. They just hang around you. They didn't want you to go. And when they would get saved, we knew that we were leaving. But the good thing is we knew that we left knowing that many of them had prayed to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart. Do you realize we're going to go back to where we're at, and this is our new normal. I mean, this is our normal, regular normal, whatever. But we're praying that over a period of time that God would just keep pouring into their lives and keep pouring into their lives and keep pouring into their lives. And it happens all the time. In this story, there is rejoicing. There's rejoicing. It's an incredible, and there's a reason to rejoice. The lost has been found. When was the last time you really rejoiced over somebody giving their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? This church needs to have some more of those celebrations. This church needs to ask and receive and beg and do outreaches like this Claremore Ninja Warrior thing and to go other places and to send people like Michelle out to where they're so that we can celebrate again and again and again. Because there's nothing like that celebration. There's nothing like that joy. Listen, if you've had a lost loved one, and it doesn't matter if it's been 2 minutes or 2 years or 20 years, and they come to Christ, are you not ecstatic? Are you not ecstatic? And it's not go, yay, we won the war. We finally wore them down. No, there's a celebration over the fact that they were lost, and now they're found. And only God can give you and I the heart of a shepherd. Either we don't have any lost sheep, or sometimes maybe we find out that we're not even a shepherd. Here's the problem with the American church, if you ask me. Many of us have been so long, saved so long. We've been to go to church so long. We know all the scriptures and the format and the things to do so long that we've forgotten what it's like to be lost. We've forgotten what it's like to be out there all on our own trying to make it through life and stumbling all over our own mistakes. We need a Savior. We need a shepherd. And that's what I think God's calling this church to do. Sidney Harris said this, "The most miserable people I have known have not been those who suffered from catastrophes which they could blame on fate or accident, but those who had everything they wanted except the power to enjoy it." That's like someone being a billionaire living in adverse poverty because they never knew they had a connection with all those resources. Guys, there's a lot of people out there They're just waiting for us to show up. And you don't have to be anything special. Jesus doesn't describe the shepherd as some superpower kind of guy. He doesn't wear a cape. He doesn't stop bullets or anything like that. He just cared for the sheep. A lot of times we're so worried about the role we're supposed to play that we forget that we even have the role to play. And God just wants us to be available. I believe the saddest experience of life is to be lost. I really believe that. They don't know it, but we do. They have no idea, but we do. We need to understand that there is nothing more tragic than a lost soul. Listen, lose your fortune, lose your health, lose your life, but there's nothing as bad as losing your soul. We were in Belize, and Brian, the taskmaster, this guy was driving us. We were tired, we're worried, we want to just leave us alone, but he keeps telling us all this stuff about how, and you know, and he gives us this big speech about your passport. And he said, listen, lose your wallet, lose your money, but if you lose your passport, you're not going home. All of a sudden I go, wow, I mean, that kind of makes sense. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of people out there that they've lost it all, but we have no idea. But we have everything it is that takes to touch them. Here's the character of God. It's to love the individual and seek the lost. Love the individual and seek the lost. Remember back before Jesus starts preaching these messages, check out the setting. He's not separated from the lost. He's with the lost. His criticism came from those who had separated themselves from the lost and had set themselves above and beyond and apart from the lost. So Jesus is sitting there, and we love to talk about him being Jesus, the friend of sinners. There's a song that says that. And quite honestly, as you guys go back to school, as we go back to work on Monday, as you do your commerce, you go and buy your gas, buy your groceries, don't forget, the lost is all around us. And God just wants us to be a part of that. Our God is searching for two things. People who don't know they're lost. But he says right there clearly, he says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he's also looking for people willing to find them. Your decision whether you're going to be a shepherd or if you're just going to be a good church person. Now that sounds really critical, doesn't it? I'm not trying to be critical. You know, this is not guilt preaching. This is reality preaching. You realize that, don't you? This isn't me trying to put you under condemnation. This isn't me trying to put pressure on you. This is me just saying, hey, could we as a church, because we as individuals, because we as believers and followers of Christ, can we put some focus and some real concerted attention on the lost? It was important enough for Jesus to tell this story and several others because that's important, how important the lost is. That's how valuable something that lost is. And if it was that important to God, it's that important to us. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. I really do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to be closed here in just a few moments. But I want you to do something that I think would make a whole lot of sense. I want you to just think of someone. Now it's turned from a thing. It's not a sheep anymore. Next week we'll be talking about a coin. But now this is a person. A person that you know or you feel like if today, right now, their life had been required of them that they were to fall over dead. Horrible way to put it in it, but if they were to fall over dead, that they would not go to heaven. They don't know Jesus. I'm going to ask you to pray for that person with me in the next few seconds. I'm going to ask all these students to think about the people that they know and don't know are going to be in their classrooms in the next couple of weeks. They're going to be sitting right there. God has strategically put you in that classroom, in that high school, in that junior high, so that you can be light in a dark place. God's put you in the family that you're in so that you can be light in a dark place. God has given you the job and you go and you see these people. You live in a neighborhood because God wants you to be light in a dark place. And I'm going to ask you to just take that person. And after you leave here, you might want to write their name down. But could you wear them as a burden for the next 3 weeks? Could you pretend for a second that they fill that slot of the sheep that was lost, and that God would call you as a good shepherd, along with him, to go and find that sheep. Why? For their sake, not yours. For the celebration. For the celebration of what God did in their lives, not just yours. Father, I pray the next few seconds that you would just absolutely call us to this place. Lord, this is not one of those sermons where you're cheering and you're screaming. There's not a whole lot of hallelujahs and yays and amens and way to go, preacher. That's because we all need to be concerned about the lost. And sometimes we don't know what to do with that. It's not that we don't care, it's just sometimes we don't know what to do. Many of us are worried about what to say. Well, Father, this isn't about saying anything. This is about just positioning ourselves as a shepherd. We know that you will take care of the rest. But I pray, oh God, that you'll help us to just keenly focus our mind on the lost for the next several weeks. God, that we will just be looking beyond the look, beyond the eyes, and see into the heart. I pray that we'll look beyond the behavior and see deep into the heart. I pray that we'll look far beyond the title, the position, the status that they have, and look into the heart. Father, may this be one of the greatest times in our lives when God converts our attention off of ourselves onto others. And let it be known that we're willing to be friends of sinners. We are not separate from them. We're just somebody that's lost. Father, we still love the bumper sticker that says, I may not be perfect, but I'm just forgiven. So God, I pray for the sake of the lost, for the sake of those who need to know Jesus, for the sake of the future of their lives and ours, may we make the right decision that we choose you and we help them to choose you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just want to encourage you with one thing. When I was doing this, I'm going, hey, God, how do I end this thing? I'm serious. I'm going, how do I end this? Do we bring people up to the altar and make them feel bad? Do we end a prayer, whatever? I don't know. But I just want to tell you, I just want to be honest with you and hopefully just put myself in your shoes. You know, I'm a pastor. So what? That's a title. What God has called me to be is a Christian first, a follower of Jesus. So the thing that I would encourage you to do is to follow Jesus. Let's just let him guide you to where you should go. But if we're not looking, we'll never see. If we're not feeling or being sensitive, we'll never feel. And this will never become something that really associates. Remember one last thing before we leave. This will all just be academic and rational until it becomes emotional and personal. Amen? Well, since you're so happy and I've brought you to this wonderful, joyful, conclusion to our service, therefore stand and leave.